You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
How do you stand out if you're a film festival in a world that includes Sundance, Cannes, Toronto, Berlin, and the New York Film Festival? Well, you'll be able to see for yourself starting today when the Tribeca Film Festival begins its 11th year, and it'll be showing some 90 movies over 11 days. Joining me now are Jeff Gilmore, Chief Creative Officer for Tribeca Enterprises, and Frederic Bayet, who recently joined Tribeca as its Artistic Director. Welcome to our show.
Nice to be here.
Both of you have worked at other film festivals. Jeff, weren't you at Sundance before this?
I ran the festival for 19 years, actually.
And Frederic, Cannes?
Yeah, I was running the Director's Fortnight for 2 years, and I was head of programming for 6 years.
Well, those are very different kinds of festivals. What do you bring to Tribeca from them? For example, from Sundance, which is... has very different goals, doesn't it? Has a different mission.
It does. I mean, every festival is really unique. And I think what you really bring when you work at a festival for a long time is experience, which helps you get open to the range of different programs that are out there. I mean, I've always said that the idea of what you want to do at a festival is not to kind of narrow your taste and say there's only a certain kind of films that are great, but really expand your sensibilities so you're responsive to everything that you need to be responsive to. And that's one of the things, by the way, that we very much try to do at Tribeca, is have this real broad sensibility, this openness towards programming this range of work that is one of the things that I think defines the festival.
Well, you can't be more open than Cannes. I mean, it has films from all over the world.
Same in Tribeca, you know. It's the good thing, it's it's a good match with me, Jeff, and Jenna Terranova, which is also head of programming at the Tribeca Film Festival. And so my experience is to have all this contact from Europe, and Jeff has all this contact from everywhere. But this Jeff is not the American side, and I'm not the international side.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So to be artistic director is to be able to watch the entire program.
Well, when you programming Tribeca, did you always have a sense of what other festivals would be doing and how to differentiate yourself, or were you driven more by a clear vision of what you think Tribeca should be?
I think both of us sat down when Frederic just came, and I really got involved with the festival really intensely this year in a different way than I had been the last couple of years when I first joined Tribeca. And both of us sat here and said, let's program quality. Let's program quality. Let's program quality. Now, what does that mean? It's a lot of different things. But we're focusing on the idea that we want to talk about the range of different kinds of qualities that we can show. So we can show something that's genre. We can show a documentary that's about baseball. And we can show a documentary that's about Wagner's Dream, about the Metropolitan's opera cycle. That's the range aesthetically and in terms of subject matter that Tribeca is open to. That's not the same with every festival.
Well, will you show films that are also scheduled for other festivals?
We have. Actually, Frederic mentioned it this morning, is the fact that one of the things we're able to do at our competitions in Tribeca is open ourselves up to films that have played in Europe and come to Tribeca.
Tribeca started out in the wake of September 11th, founded by Robert De Niro and Jane Rosenthal, intended to help revive the downtown area. Is that still part of your mission?
I think the agenda is still about community as much as it was back then. But in a sense, when you look at what the New York community is and the breadth of that community, it's something that's evolved. And so you're not just talking about the immediate objective of how to revise downtown. You're talking about the range of New York communities that exist, which are both ethnic and diverse, but also aesthetic and that kind of range of interest that makes New York not a regional platform, but an international one.
Well, when you look back at the first year, do you see major changes in the way the festival is structured or its
goals?
Frankly,
neither of us were there.
Yeah, I know, but
I look at it? Absolutely, because the first year, they were really, actually, they did that festival down and dirty. They got that festival up in 4 months. And what they did was remarkable. It was a real achievement, but had a real specific objective, which is how to bring people downtown.
Now, 4 months, obviously, is a very brief time to put together a festival. How many different movies Do you think you have watched Frederick to program Tribeca, and over how long a time?
So many people are asking this question. I think it could be a good question, but it's a, I mean, I'm watching around maybe 1,000 movies.
1,000 films? They make that many this year?
And the good thing is, I think the good thing is we had to say no for many films, which is good. It means the film we receive were good, and so we are programming 90 films, which I think it's good, because more will be, we need to say no to some films, that's bad, but I think it's for having
you have to make choices.
But 90 is 60 fewer than last year.
No. In the last couple of years, we've had 90.
We've been
at 90 for the last several years.
Yeah.
There's a change that's gone at Tribeca from the mid-2000s to where it is now that's significant, because it used to be about 150, and now it's been 90 for the last several.
I read somewhere, Jeff, that you refuse to say whether or not you like a film when you screen it for Tribeca. How come? Is your personal taste not an important part of this whole process?
Yeah, of course it is, in a very basic way. But I think people misunderstand what programming's about, which is not to say that it doesn't have subjective elements to it, but that's not the focus of it. I look at what a festival program is and say, I need to be responsive to the range of different work that's coming to me. And sometimes that includes really mainstream comedies that necessarily aren't
the Avengers.
Or like our opening night, you know, five-year engagement. And you know people enjoy it. And I enjoy it too. But that's not to say that's the, you know, essential element of what a festival should be. That's why the opening nights for Tribeca, which Frederick brought this year, was such a more representative thing of what a festival is.
Yeah, but I really don't want people to think there is two festivals in one. I don't want people to raise, okay, the mainstream side and the mainstream side and the outdoor side. I think it's all merged, it's all mixed. And this is a good thing. In the morning, you can see an obscure and beautiful documentary about the gypsy from Romania. And in the afternoon, we're going to see Avengers, or we're going to see Knockable. And this is good. I think it's the way I'm living and thinking cinema.
Well, films like The Avengers and the five-year engagement create buzz, and that's important for a festival as well.
You know what else they do? They open up a festival to all those people that look at festivals and say, festivals aren't for me. And by doing that, you actually have a response from an audience that may have never been to a festival. That's so necessary to what festivals are becoming in the next decade. Because we have a new generation that has to become involved with festivals that has a whole different relationship to film.
Well, how long will you look at a film before you know it isn't right for you?
Because
sometimes I'm sent films to
evaluate. That's an interesting question.
10 minutes, and I think, oh, gee, I don't really want to do this on our show.
You never know. I think there is a good...
And it might turn out to be great at the end.
There is a good example. It's A Life of the Other. This film is the beginning is very slow, you don't know, but after 20 minutes, wow, it's becoming something. So you never know. You can see.
Well, what is that film?
The Life of the German film?
The German film that won the Oscar a couple of years ago about the East German, you know, the whole occupation. You know, it's a funny thing. We've talked about this a lot. I used to have someone yelling at me in my office saying, why are you still watching that junk? You know, what's going on? And the fact of the matter is, most filmmakers think you turn their film off after 10 minutes. Mm. And to be really professional about it, you do the opposite. You watch it far longer than you should.
Well, do you want movies to be known as a Tribeca film in the way that there's a kind of a Sundance film?
I think Sundance film and that idea is a narrow vision. And by the way, it's not even something that Sundance enjoys as a reputation.
So they've been trying to change it.
I think the breadth of what's going on in the film world now is what you want to be responsive to.
Yeah, absolutely.
My guests are Jeff Gilmore, Chief Creative Officer of Tribeca Enterprises, and Frederick Boyer, who is the Artistic Director of the Tribeca Film Festival, which runs from today through April 29th. And if you'd like to see a schedule and get ticket information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. We'll continue our conversation after this. We are back with Frederick Boyer, who is the Artistic Director of the Tribeca Film Festival, and Jeff Gilmore, who's Chief Creative Officer of Tribeca Enterprises. We're talking about the Tribeca Film Festival, which opens today and runs for 11 days. And where are the venues?
They're almost all downtown in Chelsea. Range of different theaters. A lot of it's in, you know, different neighborhoods that are all down, you know, in the lower part of Manhattan.
Now, I know just from my own experiences of having to choose certain things, working within a team, and what I've heard about from other film festivals, people don't always agree. So how do you work together? And what happens if you, Frederick, just love a film and you, Jeff, just can't take
perfect.
It?
It's perfect. It means we're going to have a discussion and we're going to, maybe I will be convinced. Maybe I will understand why we should program the film. And I think when I agree, I'm so happy to agree with, to change my mind in a good way. I think it's interesting. I think we don't give a lot of pressure. We don't want you, but you are discussing a lot with Jeff and with Jenna, and I think it's a good thing to be able to discuss about film.
Nobody has veto power?
Well, you know, I don't think it's so much veto power as the fact that the three of us, Frederick, myself, and Jenna Terranova, really listen to each other and really try to make this collaborative. What I always feel, and this is really important, is that a voice for something is much more powerful than a voice against. Because you want to understand why someone's passionate for showing that film. Usually they're right, and the person that's negative is wrong.
You call this a street festival. What does that mean?
There's a family festival at the end of the festival, which is part of that community revitalization that happened years ago, which brings families to downtown, you know, Tribeca. The streets get blocked off. They have booths, they have games, they have kids and family fun, and they showcase a lot of different stuff. And it's part of, again, I think that community agenda of what Tribeca is.
Do you have any idea of how many of those attendees actually wound up buying tickets?
There's a lot of families that attend Tribeca, although no festival is just family-oriented, I think. I think every festival is sophisticated.
Yeah, but we have also this, I really like, you know, from France, we don't have any drive-in. So here, if there is, I'm going to see part of Joe's new print on the Hudson River, Goonies, Knockable. It's fantastic to bring 3,000 people. For me, it's a gift, and it's a free event, which is great.
So you're showing some films outdoors. Wow.
Yeah.
But it's not like a drive-in. You don't have to have a car, which is
But, nice. But you know, the drive-in is something that Tribeca does that's very special. I mean, we're showing Goonies and Jaws and this film Knuckleball with the baseball pitchers, you know, Tim Wakefield from the Red Sox, who's just retired, and Ari Dickey from the Mets coming down, talking about a baseball and how it's thrown. That's great for a festival to do that. It's again, really open towards bringing in, I think, an audience that Tribeca's really tried to do for community events.
Well, what are you looking for in terms of having Tribeca be a success? Is it whether the screenings are sold out or whether a lot of the movies are then acquired for distribution?
I don't think either of those are my only standards. I think we already are sold out largely. Last year we had, you know, almost half the films that were available for distribution were bought. So we've achieved certain levels. I think what you really want to do is try to get a good response towards a range of different kind of work where people start to see you as a platform for the kinds of films that are important, where you become a platform for discussion, where people say that filmmaker was discovered.
Absolutely. The discovery of the filmmaker is so important. I mean, and when we can do it in Tribeca, it's great. And for me, I think it's what I really like as an artistic director is to share my taste.
I talk about it as film culture. We too often forget that what festivals are is at the core of what film culture is. The commercial world isn't that. And these days, even criticism isn't. Some of it is, some of it isn't. Festivals need to be in that point of inspiring film culture about what's going on in the world of film.
It also gives documentaries, in your case, some really good documentaries, an opportunity to be seen by people who may not be thinking for documentaries first. We're going to talk about conversation. You've inspired us. There are a number of them that we're going to be dealing with on our show. Booker's Place, for example, which we'll be talking about this Friday. And Off-Label Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Off-Label, a shocking film, very powerful.
And they're great.
Yeah. And we usually see those things on television, but there's something different about seeing it in a theater with an audience.
It's so important to screen this film. I think there is also something very political. It's important. It's a duty to see to show this one, but also High Tech, Low Life, or Warwich. I think it's important to...
Or a film like
Warwich. Now, we should point out what Warwich is. It's a film about a girl who is forced to become a child soldier. And it starts off with one of the most shocking scenes. I'm not going to say what it is, but very powerful. You know from the start that you're seeing something quite extraordinary.
I mean, it's exciting, I think, because we're so – in this country, we're so insular about film. We really don't see international film. For many years, we've only seen this very small – kind of aspect of what international film is. So when you show a film like Warwich, or for that matter, an international documentary like Wavumba, you really get a sense of how much more there is to watch in cinema than just focusing on what American film is.
Well, why do you think that is? There was a time in the 50s, 60s, 70s, into the 70s, when there were theaters that specialized in foreign films. Mm-hmm. They were usually on the East Side, or there was the Apollo on 42nd Street, where you could see pretty much any foreign language film. And then the word went out that Americans don't want to see films with subtitles. Now, Europeans in France often, there's the same feeling. They dub films, which purists in this country find horrifying. Is that the answer, to dub foreign films?
To dub foreign film, I think if it's a tradition, I think I really don't care. You know, in Portugal, all the film are subtitles. But, you know, it's more, the more important it's bring feeling. Even in the small cities, I think it's much better to have the original language. But we always forget it's not about the translation. It's also about the sound mix. When you dub, you don't have any sound, you know.
Yes, although the greatest performances I've seen have been from Burt Lancaster in Italian films, and then you realize that's not him.
Yeah, it's
he's not
him.
The guy. He's not the leopard.
You know, it's actually a really complicated question because it's gotten so much more diverse. You know, you didn't see Asian films at those theaters, you know, 50 years ago, and a lot of the directors that weren't starred by critics as auteurs never got shown. So the kinds of national films that now are part of what you see, global independence are part of what you see, a range of different storytelling that's really much more diverse than it used to be, and yet that's still more difficult to find audiences for, to actually get attention for. That's one of the things that festivals do. That's one of the things that Tribeca does.
So you have 90 films here. And some of the films will get attention automatically because they have famous people involved or they have hot subjects. But are there any films that you would really love people to consider even though they might get lost otherwise?
Yes, few. I can say the Israeli documentary The Flat. I think it's really a fantastic film. What else?
I think a film... I've always said that when you come to a festival, don't focus on what you think is going to be out there in the theaters in the next couple of years. Focus on what won't come back. So you start to look at films that
what
maybe
is The Flat?
Well, I mean, I would look at everything.
Yeah, it's Le Flat. We can say it's a home movie, but a guy is... and curry about his grandmother, about the flat and the connection with the Nazis in the flat in their
apartment.
Yeah,
absolutely. And there's a story about two German Jews who were pushed out of Germany, of course, pre-war, who at the end of their life cycle in Tel Aviv, the nephew's going through their possessions and discovers a relationship and letters that they had with one of the founders of the SS, which actually continued.
One of the father of the Final Solution, the boss of Goebbels. I mean, it's the Nazi of the Nazis.
And it actually continued not just before the war, but after the war. It's remarkable. And talk about it. One of the things that I think defines Tribeca this year are films that we think we're on familiar territory with that go in very distinctive directions, like The Flat. Where all of a sudden you think, oh, this is a Holocaust story, and it's not. Or a film like The Girl, which you think is a border story, and it's not. Or a film like While We Were Here, which looks like it's a film about a broken relationship, and all of a sudden it becomes something more than that. And that kind of exploration is part of what I think festivals can really do to help engage people.
Now, it opens tonight with the 5-year engagement which is a film that a lot of people will see, at least you hope, starring Jason Segel and Emily Blunt. Why that rather than any of a number of other commercial films that were out there?
I think we have opening nights for the competitions for films that are much more representative of what that is, with Yossi, with, you know, Which Way Do We Go. It's kind of different kinds of filmmaking. The opening night of the festival is a way of I think, a romantic comedy which can make people feel good. I mean, make people feel like this is fun. It's part of the Universal tribute that we're giving this year, 100th anniversary of Universal. It's a Universal film. It's part of a kickoff, I think, for people to look at what a festival is.
Universal film started 100 years ago?
100th anniversary this year.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming by to talk about the Tribeca Film Festival. Later in our show, by the way, we will be on Soundcheck. They'll be talking about some of the music films in the festival because there are a lot of music films, aren't there?
Yeah.
Some people consider them among the highlights of the festival.
It's one of the most, it's always important at the Tribeca Film Festival. We have Searching for Sugarman, Everyman's Journey.
And Zen of Bennett,
you know, about Tony Bennett.
And Wagner's Dream. I mean, this real breadth of
Wagner's Dream
kinds
about
of music.
The Metropolitan Opera's commitment to a whole new set that cost millions of dollars, and they were never sure whether the thing was actually going to work or not.
There's a wonderful film called Russian Winter, which is about the Fugees and about, you know,
John Ford
taking hip-hop to Russia. It's like a very different kind of work.
Well, thank you both so much for being on our show. We've been talking about the Tribeca Film Festival, which opens today, and we thought that you might want to get a jump start on it with Jeff Gilmore, Chief Executive Officer of Tribeca Enterprises, and Frédéric Boyer, Artistic Director of Tribeca Film Festival. It runs through April 29th and closes with The Avengers, with an all-star cast. If you want information about the schedule and tickets, all 90 films, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And thank you again for all the attention you're paying to films here. It's great.